Michael Giddens and Alex Bauman in the studio with me, and Giddens got our picks ready. Let's don't waste any time. I was 7-3 last week. I had a bad week.
I was good last week.
You consider
I won last
7-3 a bad week?
I'm usually 9-1. Let's go.
I don't remember the last time you've recorded. I don't know if you've ever recorded a 9-1 week.
That's
all right.
It's because you quit usually.
I beat you last year.
Let's go.
All because of Auburn. Thanks, Auburn.
Let's go.
All right. So last week, David was 7-3. I was 6-4. And Alex was 8-2. So Alex won the week. That puts the records at David leading at 26-14. Alex in second, one game behind, 25-15. And I am 3 games behind David, 2 games behind Alex at 23-17, heading into week 8. We start off Saturday night, 6:30 p.m. Central Time on NBC and Peacock. It's the 20-year anniversary of the Bush push. Number 20th-ranked USC heads to South Bend to take on the number 13th-ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Probably both teams' playoff lives are on the line already here. Notre Dame is a 9.5-point favorite at home.
Go ahead.
Everybody's talking about how USC looks a lot more physical this year than in past rivalry years.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. You said Notre Dame was how many point favorite?
9.5.
Wow, that's big. A lot. That's a lot.
Yeah. I just don't know if just because they're more improved physically in their compared to their past years, I don't know if that means they're up to the task of playing with Notre Dame's front seven and trying to get past their offensive line. So give me Notre Dame at home.
Taking Notre Dame as well. USC's had some key injuries to some offensive players. Notre Dame continues to get better week in and week out, and C.J. Carr looks like one of the better quarterbacks in the country.
Notre Dame wins, but they do not cover.
All right.
Closer ball game than 9.5 points.
Only 2 non-conference games this week because we got a full slate in the SEC.
Good.
I thought about doing Georgia Tech Duke because it's the closest line with a ranked team. But instead, we'll go with the 2 ranked teams playing each other as well in the non-conference. 23rd-ranked Utah at number 15th-ranked Brigham Young University. This is the Holy War. 7 p.m. Central Time on Fox. Utah on the road, 3.5-point favorite.
You honestly picked this game.
What was I supposed to do? What other game was
this? This should be the Holy Prayer.
It's the Holy War.
I don't care. BYU.
It's 2 of the top 3 teams in the Big 12.
You pick BYU every week as a game
we
for us
BYU
to choose.
Last
I literally
week.
Asked you.
All to know their underwear sizes.
I asked you Georgia Tech Duke, and you were like, I don't want to pick that game.
I didn't want to pick that one either.
Well,
I mean, come
I
on,
pick
you
one.
Can
pick one of these.
You can do UAB, you can do Samford, you can do Jack State. Come on.
Who cares about those games?
Who cares about BYU
2
and Utah?
Top 25 teams in a Power 4 conference.
Go ahead and pick the game.
Let's pick Miles College next.
I'd rather pick Miles College than I had to talk about Brigham Young.
Absolutely not. So what do you think, Alex?
I picked BYU last week.
They burned you.
No, they did. They won.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got burned by them.
I'm not picking BYU this week. I'm going the Utes.
Utes, Devin Dampier.
Devin Dampier. The running game figured some stuff out last week, and they're playing some good defense.
You know, Utah probably looked the best of any team this year against Texas Tech in that first half. Led until a penalty called a touchdown back from Devin Dampier on an 80-yard touchdown run. I think a clean Utah comes out. I just haven't believed in BYU this year like I thought. I thought they were a much better team last year. They've stayed undefeated. But I think their luck catches up with them this week, and I'm going to go with Alex. Utah on the road.
I haven't believed in BYU since Jim McMahon. Okay, go back and check that out.
Steve Young.
No, forget it. I'm going Utah.
All right. So
even though I don't want to pick this game,
all of us go Utah.
It's like two mules fighting over a turnip.
So all agreed on all of the non-conference.
Yeah. All right. So either going to get it all wrong this week or all right.
All right. So now it gets fun. 8 SEC games. We'll do 3 now, and we'll do 5 later. We'll start off chronological. And the first game of the day in the SEC, 11 a.m. Central Time on ABC. You got 10th-ranked LSU heading up to Nashville to take on the 17th-ranked Vanderbilt Commodores. Can you believe that in 2025, with a 10th-ranked LSU heading to Vandy, that Vandy is 2.5-point favorites?
It's tough to believe. Bauman, where are you going with this one?
Few years ago, this has been an easy just LSU. Let's just get going. But Vanderbilt's improved a whole lot. Diego Pavia has stepped up when he needs to, except against Alabama. And LSU's offense is one of the worst things I've ever watched all year. They have relied heavily on that defense. And if the defense is able to play like Alabama's defense played against Vanderbilt in the second half, which I think they can, I'll take LSU to upset Vanderbilt.
I like the Bayou Bengals here. I just don't think Pavia is good enough to move the ball with consistency on LSU's defense. And at some point in time, I'm not saying it's going to be this Saturday morning, but at some point in time, Nussmeier breaks out of his shell and has just a breakout game. This may be it. So he has not played well. Honestly, do y'all agree with that?
Yeah, he's bad.
Yeah.
But you know he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
But the question is he healthy? Is he just playing through injury weekend?
I just believe at some point in time he's going to break out and have a good game. It may not be this Saturday, but I still think LSU's defense is good enough to win.
Well, LSU's injury report did not look too good this past week. Vandy's going to win a game or two that they're not supposed to win, at least from a historical perspective, and I don't think they've gotten that one yet this year. I think they had their chances against Alabama and blew it. I think this time around, they play a cleaner game, especially in the second half, and Vandy gets the job done at home.
All right. So one more.
No, two more.
Two more before the break. We'll do 11:45 a.m. Central Time on the SEC Network. 14th-ranked Oklahoma heads to Columbia to take on the South Carolina Gamecocks. Oklahoma coming off their loss in the Red River rivalry, shootout, whatever you want to call it. They're 5.5-point favorites against the Gamecocks.
I'll give you my pick first. Go on.
Alex?
I'm taking Boomer Sooner as well. South Carolina's offensive line couldn't block a statue. Lenora Sellers is the second most sacked quarterback in the SEC, right behind Jackson Arnold. 21 sacks on Arnold, 19 on Lenora Sellers. The Gamecocks fired their offensive line coach this week. Not going to get any better. Oklahoma, their offense looked pretty bad last week with Ja Mateer still looking like he was struggling with that hand injury. But if they can get that on track, lean on their defense a lot more than they did last week, Oklahoma will run away with this one.
Yeah, I feel like this kind of game is a game that finishes like 14-6 in favor of Oklahoma or something like that, where it's just terribly low scoring. Neither offense really gets going. The question Oklahoma is going to have going forward is, do you keep playing Ja Mateer if he's not 100%, or you give Michael Hawkins a shot? Because eventually this offense is going to have to put up some points, but I don't think it's this week. I think Oklahoma gets the job done. All right, so we're all in favor of Oklahoma. Our final game before we head to break will be the 4th-ranked Texas A&M Aggies, tops in the SEC right now, heading to Fayetteville to take on the 2-4 Arkansas Razorbacks, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. A&M, 7.5-point favorites on the road.
It feels like Arkansas gets one of those highly ranked teams every year. And being in Fayetteville, it could be a scary time for the Texas A&M Aggies, who have not played well there for a long time. But A&M has figured something out on defense. They have played a lot better. Granted, it was against Auburn and some pretty teams. But getting that defense right, you have Marcel Reed at quarterback. Your running game has been explosive these past couple of weeks. You have two of the best receivers in the SEC after the catch and Craver and Concepcion. They're going to get the better of Arkansas, but I wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas is sitting there in the fourth quarter, either with the lead or tied with them.
Arkansas does usually knock off somebody they shouldn't, but I don't think it'll be this week. Texas A&M wins, but be careful. Be careful with this one.
They almost got Tennessee last week.
I don't like – this is a stinky pick for me.
Yeah, I mean, A&M's kind of been just kind of floating by, it seems. And now they're down Le'Veon Moss. For an extended period of time. I don't know how big of an issue that's going to be. I know that he's not the only running back in that room that can make some plays for the Aggies, but this is one of those that you really kind of want to pull the trigger on for the upset. And I'm so close to doing it, but I just don't believe in the consistency of Arkansas. And just because Pittman's gone, those players still are the players out there on the field that are finding ways to lose games. So I'll go with Texas A&M, but it's close.
All right, so those are our 5 picks. We'll have 5 more when we come back. I'm McCurley in the morning. Giddens, where are we going next?
Between the Hedges. Undefeated, 5th-ranked Ole Miss coming off their less than stellar outing against the Washington State Cougars. Now travel to Georgia. Georgia 5-1 coming off their oh-so-convincing, oh-so-not-helped-by-the-referees performance against the Auburn Tigers. 2:30 p.m. Central Time on ABC. Georgia at home is 7.5-point favorites.
Y'all go ahead on this one. Y'all battle this out.
Georgia's,
you know where
Georgia's
I'm
offense under Mike Bobo is consistently getting out to slow starts dating back to last year's Alabama game. You look at this year's Alabama game, got out to a slow start offensively, even against Auburn, went down 10-0 and really should have been down 17-0 if the refs didn't overturn that touchdown call on Jackson Arnold. And going against Lane Kiffin, if you go down 10-0, 17-0, he's not like Josh Heupel where he's going to take his foot off the gas and give you a chance to come back in the football game. He's going to be pedal to the metal. If I think Ole Miss gets out to a hot start like they should with Trinidad Chambliss, Georgia won't have the firepower to come back or the defense to be able to stop it.
So you're going Ole Miss.
I'm going Ole Miss.
Go ahead. Get
yeah, them. I mean, I think you looking at last week's game with Ole Miss and Washington State, you have to believe that there was a little bit of looking ahead. I mean, you know, even looking ahead, you shouldn't have that close of a game with a team like Washington State, but there was a lot of low energy, low effort plays out there for Ole Miss, especially in the first half. There's no way that happens against Georgia on the road at 2:30 with playing a top 10 team in the SEC. I think Ole Miss does start out hot, but they have to mount enough of a lead to not allow the best coach in the country at halftime adjustments to not come out and turn that thing around. It's been the Alabama mantra to be able to beat Georgia is you have to start out fast. The only time I can think of where that was flipped around was the national championship where Tua got put in. But besides that, against a Kirby Smart team, you have to start fast. I think Lane Kiffin and the Rebels do just enough, and they win this game by a field goal.
You say he's the best at making adjustments. You know what those adjustments are? They're called BFs, Benjamin Franklins. He's paying $100 bills out to everybody in the locker room, including the Zebras. That's his adjustment.
I just want to know how many timeouts he's going to get this week.
Let me go on and put on record that he has vaulted to the top. He is my most despised sports figure right now. I don't even want to say his name. Not going to say his name.
What about Soccer Silverman?
I can tell you this right now, that if Ole Miss change their name right now to the Everton Toffees, I'd be for the Everton Toffees come Saturday afternoon. Ole Miss wins. That's all I want to say.
All right. So I know next up we got Mississippi State and Florida. My phone's kind of bugging out, so I can't look at the
– I got you. 3:15 on SEC Network.
You got the line?
9.5 in favor of Florida.
That is absurd.
It's in the swamp, David.
I know, but seriously, don't you think that they shouldn't be 9.5-point favorites over BYU?
No, they just look like a better team since Dallas Wilson came back.
I agree, but, I mean, come on. Mississippi State's having the best year they've had in 10 years. I mean, they're a decent football team. They're not 9.5-point dogs here.
All right, so what are we thinking?
Well, you know, I know it is in the swamp. I do think Florida will win the game, but I think they do not cover.
I'm going Florida too. Mississippi State dealing with some injuries on the defensive side of the football as well as the offensive line. That was the big issue for them against A&M. Their offensive line couldn't hold up in protection. Florida has been pretty good defensively. If they can get the offense going like it was doing against Texas and then in the first half of last week's game, they'll be good. I'm taking DJ Lagway in Florida to save Billy Napier's job once again.
Yeah,
I say this real quick before you get your pick too? One thing that I think we got flourished on with Mississippi State, they had a very easy front end of their schedule, very hard back end of their schedule. Florida's the other way around, guys. I mean, their schedule's hard all the way around, don't get me wrong, but I think they played the worst part of their schedule now. I still think Florida wins, but they do not cover. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Giddens.
How did I know that Alex was not going to pick the Mississippi State Bulldogs again this year?
I told you I wasn't.
Yeah. Never again. I don't know.
So you will to try to catch up one game.
If UAB was playing Mississippi State, are you picking UAB?
I'll just take the L on that one. I'm not picking either team.
Just not picking.
They'll Drew.
They'll Drew. I'm gonna make a clean sweep. Florida wins this game. They you know, it's kind of the Napier thing to start slow in the season. They got a lot better near the end of the year, which is why they had the hype going into this season. I think they'll do something similar again as long as he's there. He keeps his job. They beat Mississippi State this week. They cover.
Okay.
Now we'll go to I think the ugliest game in the SEC this week. 21st ranked Texas at Kentucky. Texas 12.5-point favorites. I don't know why this game got picked for 6 p.m. on ESPN. The Arch Manning factor is real.
Go ahead, guys.
Kentucky sucks. That's the way I'll say it. Kentucky sucks.
I mean, yeah, they're the definitive worst team in the SEC.
Yeah. I'm going to go on a limb here. So you're picking Kentucky?
No, I'm picking Texas.
Kentucky's okay, that's bad. What I mean. Texas, you're picking Texas?
I think I got to go Texas, but it's just a bad game to watch all around.
I'm going Texas, but there's a reason why. Basketball started this week in Kentucky. You think they care about football anymore? Do you think that they really care about football anymore?
So next up we got number 11 Tennessee and number 6 Alabama. This one at 6:30 p.m. Central Time on ABC. Alabama 7.5-point favorites.
Don't you love me over the controls?
No. I do not. Who's going first on this one?
You go first on this one.
You know what? I've been picking against Alabama lately. I'm not going to do it again. I think Tennessee is a good team, but they're going to go into Brian Denny, and they're not going to get the job done. Alabama wins this game.
If this was at Neyland, I'd be picking Tennessee because they've had Alabama's number the past two times there. But being at Bryant Denny Stadium, the way the offense has played the past few weeks and the defense, the way they finished against Vanderbilt and played last week against Missouri, stopping the run, and the way Tennessee leans on the running game, I don't have belief in Joey Aguilar to be able to sling the football around the field and keep up with Alabama. I'm taking the Tide.
Be honest with you guys, this is going to be one of those – I think this is going to be one of those classic games.
Oh, yeah.
But I give the edge to Alabama because they're playing in Bryant Denny. And I'm going to tell you this. You look at Alabama's schedule right now, the back end of it's not too hard to navigate through if you think about it. I know they got to go to Jordan-Hare, but where else do they play, Bauman?
South Carolina. Next week, they play at South Carolina. Then they have LSU at home.
Yep.
Oklahoma at home.
Yep.
Eastern Illinois at home. Then Jordan-Hare.
This is a game Alabama can't afford to lose. Because if they lose this game and win the rest of them and go into the Iron Bowl, it's win to get into the playoffs, lose you not. That's a lot of pressure. Think about that. Am I probably right?
I feel like this is one of the years, whether Hugh Freeze is the head coach or not, that Auburn's going to have Alabama's number. Because it's been a while since y'all have won.
And you really think so?
And if that's the case,
there's always those years.
Okay, but if that's the case, Alabama hadn't been in the playoffs in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They want to get in the playoffs. If that's the case and people think that they're going to lose to Auburn because it's at Jordan-Hare, they can't lose this game.
Yeah.
I'm taking Alabama.
Yeah, I think so. We're all going to Alabama on this one. So the final game is 16th-ranked Missouri at 3-3.
Can we play the snore?
0-3 in the SEC. The Auburn Tigers, 6:45 p.m. Central Time on the SEC Network. Auburn's line, they started out as favorites in this one, but it's moved throughout the week. Now Missouri, 1.5-point favorites on the road. It's also got the lowest total in the SEC this week. Not a lot of believers in Auburn's offense, but a lot of believers in Auburn's defense, which is the most frustrating thing about this team is that Auburn's defense is going to let them be in every single game.
Well, the most frustrating part of it to me is they had us leading that football game last week and we give up 20 unanswered points. Forget about the fact that we had a call taken away from us that would have put us up 3 scores. I get it. But we give up 20 unanswered points in that game after playing lights out defensively. What happened? We stopped making adjustments defensively. And everybody wants to throw DJ Durkin's name in there. Well, if Hugh Freeze loses his job, why don't you just hire DJ Durkin? Prove to me that you can play with that intensity for 60 minutes, not 30, I mean, I hate to be that way. Our offense is dismal. Don't get me wrong. But let's take part here. You know, against Texas A&M, we were ahead and had a chance to win the game, and we let them have a 11-play, 9-minute drive to win the game. Same way with Georgia.
Yeah,
let's be fair about this.
The defense, you know, I don't think you can argue that the defense is the reason that Auburn's at least been in these games.
Yes.
Because the offense has been just absolutely tragic in the bigger games. But you also got to think about the fact that in the second half, the Auburn offense only mustered one first down, 15 yards total offense, and got completely dominated in time of possession. So that defense was on the field for so long in the second half that eventually, even with the depth that Auburn's got, they ran out. Of course, they were down a cornerback with Kyan Lee getting ejected at the end of the first half. So it was, you know, it just wore on Auburn's defense.
I get that, but my point to that is Georgia flipped that. Georgia's defense was on the field the entire first half, and we mustered 10 points. Our defense was on the field the entire second half, and they mustered 20 or 17.
Yeah.
I mean,
it should have been 17 for us. It wasn't.
Sure.
Was 17 for
them. I get that, and that would have made a huge difference. Bauman, I want you to go in this game first.
This is Missouri's first road game of the year.
Yeah.
Crazy that it is.
Yeah, that's amazing.
This is one of the toughest environments to play in, to be your first road game of the year. Bo Pribula's first experience playing in a hostile environment in the SEC. And he looked rattled last week against Alabama after that opening drive. If Ahmad Hardy's not able to do what he's known to be able to do, and Auburn shuts him down with their dominant defensive line, and it's all on Pribula to win the football game, I have about as much confidence in him to do that as have Jackson Arnold to throw a slant pass over the middle. So no confidence.
So who are you going with then? You don't sound confident in either team.
I have no confidence in either team.
You got to make a pick.
Being at Jordan-Hare and Missouri, I'm not a big believer in what they got. I'm taking the Auburn Tigers to win.
Wow. Go ahead, Gitto.
So if Auburn could win this game and get on a win streak, you know, and you go into the Iron Bowl, five-game win streak.
8-3.
8-3. You know, then I could see that scenario playing out where Auburn gets the win. Hugh Freeze still has his job. But, man, it's very bad vibes, as the kids would say, on the plains right now. And, who knows what's going on with that Damari Alston situation that happened midweek. I know what we've all heard rumored to be happening. But, you know, there's always three sides to every story. I just don't feel good about this offense and this coaching staff right now. I think the defense is going to have to make even more plays than they've made throughout the year, not just stopping teams, but literally creating their own points in order to win this game. If they don't do that, I'm afraid they're going to fall again. So as much as I want to pick Auburn, I think it makes more sense in the end to pick Missouri to win this game.
One more. He's going down one more game because you and I are going to be right about this one.
I sure hope so.
I'm not picking,
on a limb here.
Listen, and he thinks I am. I'm picking with my heart. I'm not. Sooner or later, the odds have to tell you that refereeing-wise, we're going to get the benefit of a call. And I just believe somehow that it's going to happen this Saturday night. Because as much as I told you about Alabama's schedule in the second half of the season being very manageable, Bauman, pull up Auburn's schedule for the second half.
I know I saw Mercer at one point.
It's Arkansas after this week, and then it's
Vandy.
I believe Vandy and Kentucky and Mercer before the Iron Bowl.
Their second half is very, very manageable.
If you get past this game.
We could be on a five-game winning streak very seriously. Because think back to it, guys. How did we feel after Baylor?
Really good.
I mean, really.
Felt great about the running game.
Thank you. Now I'm saying Baylor is not the best team in the world, but neither is Kentucky, neither is Arkansas, neither is Mercer. So if you get by this game, there's a very good chance you may be 9-3 going into the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
If you can navigate through Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's the one sticker in there.
Yeah, at Vandy and home against Missouri, on paper are the two tougher games there. But a road trip to Arkansas has never been a great game.
Like we said, they always get someone.
Yeah.
They always get someone.
But I am going to say this. Auburn is going to throw the football better this Saturday night. Tomorrow night, they're going to throw the football better. And you want them to tell you something else? They're going to run the football better.
I hope so.
And I truly believe a star is going to be born, and it's not going to be Jeremiah Cobb. He's already a star. Next man up. whoever it is. I'm not saying who it's going to be. I'm just saying we've had some talent. Have we not, Michael Giddens, sitting over there on that sideline waiting their turn?
You got Omar Mabson. You got, you got Alvin Henderson. You've got Darrell Robinson.
Who's I don't been think hurt. Robinson is going to be back yet. But I'm ready to see Alvin Henderson. I'm ready to see Mabson.
You got Justin James. You got Christian Burnett. I mean, there's a lot of guys in the running back room.
If you don't get them playing time this Saturday night, you're not going to see them next year. It's that simple. Yeah. Okay? He's pulling out all the stops this Saturday night because he knows his job's on the freaking line.
I think if Auburn loses to Missouri, Hugh Freeze is fired Sunday or Monday.
Well,
that'd be my guess.
I'm saying that it's going to happen this Saturday night. Auburn wins at Jordan-Hare. That's our picks. And Giddens, again, is going down the tubes.